It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azure Talon? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Do not fall for that. Okay.
You know that's a thing, right?
What's a thing?
People call old people and say, it's me, your grandson.
Oh.
I'm in jail in Mexico. I don't want my parents to find out. Can you wire me some bail money?
Yeah, I've heard of that, but I'm a little confused by it because how can you not recognize the voice of your grandkid?
The assumption is that you don't talk to your grandkid very often.
Or
that, you know, it's on the phone and you don't hear it. It happened to my parents back in the day. And in retrospect, I don't know if it's true. They said it did sound weird. It didn't quite sound like him, but they weren't sure. They ended up not quite falling for it, but it was mostly like, this is suspicious, and they looked into it. But yeah, that's a thing. So, sorry, this is a follow-up before we got online of William not understanding how electric things work, basically. he kept referring to his computer as a horseless carriage. I don't even know what that means, but anyway, I want to dip my toe a little bit in another episode of Tony is enraged but also kind of amused by song lyrics, holiday edition. Because this has come up many times in my life, but let's talk about Little Saint Nick,
the Beach Boys thing.
Yes.
Okay,
now I gotta admit, in general, I don't get surf music. I particularly don't get the Beach Boys. Other people love it. It's fine. Doesn't work for me. I really don't get Little Saint Nick. Is it like supposed to be Santa Claus's son or like a mini Santa Claus? Or I don't understand that. That's not even what I'm here to talk about. These are little nesting dolls of confusion, and we get to the important one, which is throughout that song, there is a bass vocal line that repeats many times. Do you know what that bass vocal line says repeatedly?
Well, I can't really understand what he's saying.
No, it is quite clear. It is quite clear.
I think I've heard it many times and I've not really caught what he was saying.
No, to the degree that I talked to somebody else the other day and they immediately know. No, it is very clear what he says. Heard many times. He says, Christmas comes this time each year.
Oh, I thought you were talking about a different part.
No.
Okay. Yeah, I remember that part. Yeah.
What the fuck? It's a sneaker because you're like, of course, but then you're like, why do people need to say that out loud with English words? Like,
no.
Yes, it does. Like, I don't. Why?
I mean, there's a lot of Christmas songs that are basically saying, hey, it's Christmas. It's like, yeah, we know. It's, if you're an adult,
but like,
and you know, it's Christmas time.
That's so, like, is the assumption that the person we are singing to isn't aware of what time of year Christmas happens, or that the person we're singing to isn't aware that Christmas is an annual event? Because we're specifying both. Yeah. I mean, like, if somebody said that sentence to me in conversation, I would slap them in the face and say, what do you think, I'm a fucking idiot? What is wrong with you? Yes. Ham comes from pigs. Water is wet. And Christmas comes. The funny thing, of course, is the song doesn't specify when it is. So what we're really saying is Christmas comes at Christmas time every year. Which,
yeah,
like, I feel like that is a waste of some oxygen and whatever minor wear and tear on the eardrums occurs. Like that, I struggle my whole life. I work a lot with my therapist on the fact that I say a lot of shit that really never, ever needed to be said. I have never been so unnecessary in my words to be equivalent to Christmas comes this time each year. And here's the thing. If that was just a line in the song, I'm pretty sure I could find another Christmas carol that has that line in it. Whatever. Okay. It repeats over and over and over again in the song, in case you forgot. So it's dumb. That's what I want to say about that. Anyway, hello, everyone. Welcome to Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast in the world officially endorsed by the American Bus Drivers Association. We don't know why. I assume it was a typo, but it is literally our only accolade, so we have to take it. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 561. Little Saint Nick, I believe, is a vehicle. It's the vehicle that Saint Nick rides in. Like Little Deuce Coupe, but it's Little Saint Nick.
Except, is Little Deuce Coupe driven by a dude named Deuce Coupe?
Nope.
That doesn't seem...
I know.
Traditionally, I mean, and you're not going to like going here, but this is, facts are facts. Traditionally, when there is an individual with an, especially a male individual with a certain name, and there's something in their life that they refer to as little, whatever that is one of two things. It is either their son or it is their penis. So it's not a great song, is what I'm saying. It's not good. Unless you suffer head trauma and either do not remember. No, it's not helpful for you to help you remember when, because the song just gets played. So it says this time and it's like right now. No, it's July. I just played you the song. It's not Christmas. The song is lying to you. But if you forget that it happens every year, then I guess that is helpful. Also, Charles Manson and his cult hung out at Brian Wilson's house for a while, if memory serves. They just chilled there for a while.
I mean, there was some connection there, yeah.
And some weird. And that's why I don't like surf music, because of Charles Manson.
Okay. Sure.
So if you're just joining us, this is as good as it's gonna get. We have a hat. It is magical in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. And people, dear loving listeners, hatters, hatlings, you know who you are. And if you don't know, it's also you. Write into that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with little notes, comments, topics, questions, that kind of thing. The hat, if it so deigns, forwards us those emails and we'll read them and we'll talk about them, probably. But we'll see what happens. I need a haircut so bad. I'm getting one on Monday, but like, I don't know. Like, now that I don't have a job, I can usually just call up and be like, can I come get a haircut? And they're like, how about tomorrow? And I'm like, yeah. So I don't schedule them in advance anymore. I just call them when the hair gets too long. But I got too focused on the time and not the hair length. So in my head, it hadn't been that long. And then Thanksgiving happened, and then I got very sick. And so now my hair, like, I'm really close to being able to ponytail it in the back again. And that ain't right. So I really got to go in for a haircut. So, all right. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week. No, how's your week been?
I mean, you know, school's wrapping up and things like that. I had a question I wanted to ask you that I decided I would ask you during the podcast, but I don't know.
Because when other were you going to ask me?
I mean,
fun fact, I refuse to speak to or acknowledge William's existence except when we record.
Anyway, so because this came up in relation to things that I was talking to people about and experiencing, so I was curious about your experience. What is your experience with Santa Claus? Like, when were you, you know, did you believe in Santa Claus when you were a kid? When did you realize there wasn't a Santa Claus? You know, what are your feelings about Santa Claus in the culture? If you had kids, would you encourage them to believe in Santa Claus? All of that is, I'm curious to know what you think. Because have we ever talked about this? Because I don't think we have.
I don't know.
I'm very curious what your thoughts
are. I have talked about this with people before. I don't know if you were those people.
I don't remember.
Mostly with Santa Claus, the formative time for me was high school. Santa Claus and I hung out a lot in high school. And my parents thought he was kind of a bad influence, but I mean, I understood that it was about the children and, you know, he was good. There was some breaking and entering, but like it was for a good cause and all that.
Now, as the weed, they probably didn't like that he smoked weed.
Yeah. There was a lot of that. There was a lot.
I mean, it's not but tobacco, I mean, in that pipe. Everybody knows.
Yeah, but I mean, how else to get down the chimney? And then, we kind of, he went to a technical school when I went to 4-year university, and it,
right.
We drifted apart a little bit.
Kind I haven't thought about there, sure.
I haven't thought about Santa Claus in years.
Well, he wasn't at your wedding. I noted that.
No. What's he doing these days? Have you, I don't. We're not even Facebook friends, so I don't like.
Last I knew, he was working at the mall. So.
Yeah. Flying those little remote helicopters.
Yep. Looking at a kiosk in the mall.
Trying to get you to sign up for a Whiskey of the Month club or some shit. Mm-hmm. I went downtown this week, and it's a very nice day for it. But it's weird because I haven't been downtown much, and like half the businesses I remember are gone, and half the businesses that are there now I've never heard of. It's very weird. That's no, weird. Santa Claus for me. We did the Santa Claus thing in my house, like for real, real, till I was, I believe, 8. And I believe at that time, in that place, amongst those peoples, I was one of the later children to continue to believe in Santa Claus. I believe most of my schoolmates of an age did not believe at the point I still did. I do recall fellow students telling me it was not true, and yet I still believed. And then, yeah, I believe when I was 8, I went to my parents and said, I've been thinking about this, and I would like you to be honest with me. And I did the whole, like, Santa Claus, Easter Bunny, Tooth Fairy, all of that. Is that real, or is that you? Please be a very sincere little 8-year-old. Please be honest with me. Are those real, or are those not? And my parents were like, we're going to be honest with you. They are not. We're doing it. And I was like, thank you for telling me. I wish you had not. I am sad.
You didn't really, did you?
No, I did. I did. I wasn't angry at them.
Okay.
But I was like, oh. And then I was like, I'm kind of sad now that you told me. And they're like, we're sorry. You asked us to be honest. And I was like, no, thank you. But I'm really sad now.
That's interesting.
I was a philosophical child. I was not a smart child.
I mean, do you think you hung on to the belief because you were so convinced, or because you, your parents told you this and they wouldn't lie to you? I mean, what do you think sort of motivated you to hang on to it so long?
I think because there was no reason not to. Given the choice, which is not a thing that happens generally in belief, but if I got to pick today, if I could believe in Santa Claus or not, I would believe in Santa Claus because it's awesome. And I think my family was very, I think I was right before the era where it became the cool thing to tell your kids the truth from day one. My brother really tried to sort of have it both ways and was very open with his kids about there's not somebody's, but he tried to get very symbolic about it. Santa Claus is the spirit of Christmas and all that. And that, you know, but never pretended that there was a dude who showed up and got these things. As far as I can recall, I honestly wasn't there for all of my brother's raising of his children, because that would have been weird. So, but I seem to remember that. And I don't know, because my belief in the supernatural, and particularly sort of the child version of the supernatural, lasted well into adolescence, if not longer. And so I think in my brain, I might have even started doing maybe Santa's real, but like Santa only comes to like people who need him. Like I have parents that can buy me the toys. Maybe Santa comes to the ones who doesn't. And yeah, at that age, you don't question your beliefs if you're cool with them, I think. And I was super cool with Santa. I think this shows up in a lot of things. It's also, you know, how a lot of people get raised in particular faith traditions. And a lot of people who question their religious upbringing don't do it until they're much older. Because why not? It's a cool thing. And that's how it works. And we're, you know, we're going to heaven / we get presents on this day / all these cool people at my church, temple, whatever. Why mess with it? And I think that was the same thing. And I think I hit a point. It was probably kind of a peer pressure thing. I was like, none of my friends believe in this. Also, as cool as I think Santa is, I am slightly concerned at the prospect that my parents are lying. And so at one point, I trust at that age, I was very close to my parents and I trusted my parents. And I was like, all right, just going to ask them to be honest. And they were. And I was sorry I asked. And apparently they had spent the last couple of years sort of agonizing over it. Like, should we tell him? And they decided, because they thought it might be awkward. With like, all of my friends are like, what are you, a baby? Let's go. Which that didn't really happen. But there was some of that. My friends were like, why do you still believe in me? Weirdly, whether or not I would do that with my children is something I thought a lot about.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Because there are two things that I think are quite cool. One is Santa Claus, and another is being honest and open with your loved ones. I'm a fan of both of those.
Both of those things, yeah.
And they don't play nice together.
Not really.
And no. And I used to sit around and be like, is the joy I got out of all of those years of thinking there was Santa? And I really did. I fucking saw him outside my window one time flying by, like on the sleighs. I don't know what it actually was. It was probably an airplane. I don't know. But it was on Christmas Eve out my window. So I knew it was Santa. I heard it. There were times when I thought, like, maybe I could listen and see. It was super cool. Love Santa. And, oh, but big part of the thing up front, mall Santa, not Santa. Common tactic a lot of parents use. because they change. And also every mall in town has one. And so the deal is, no, those are Santa's helpers.
Right.
You go talk to him and then he reports back. But I love that kind of stuff. And I was like, okay, so the disappointment, and I suppose on a certain level, mild betrayal of having been lied to from my parents, was that offset by the joy I got for all those years? And I didn't know. I, over the years, I sort of waffled back and forth over what I was going to do. Yeah. And it once again becomes one of those things I didn't, I'm glad I didn't have to deal with in the long
run. Did you, I mean, given that you could remember as a child asking the question, hearing the answer, not liking the answer, do you feel like that, that you were in any way traumatized by any of that? Like that it,
that, that, yeah, that was the question I sort of asked myself because,
yeah.
I mean, I think in a real strict sense, yes, I was, but I don't think it was severe trauma. And I got a lot of joy out of the experience beforehand. And so that has always been the thing. It's like, is it worth it? And I mean, I guess at this point I have probably fallen on the side of, yes, it was worth it for me, but that is not the same thing as to say, I think it would have been worth it for a child of mine.
Okay. So have you ever thought that Santa Claus was not cool? Like, you know, the whole naughty and nice thing, or the whole all about presents, you know, teaching the kids at Christmas is about getting presents, or commercialization.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But not until like well into my 30s. Like we were probably doing this podcast by the time I thought like that.
And have you come around to a different opinion, or are you positive and negative towards Santa today? Is what I'm asking.
Santa and I are pretty cool these days. I certainly don't ever have the urge to rat out my friends to their children. I'm often curious, and you have to play it sort of careful, where various children in my life are on that issue.
Oh gosh.
And I have noticed in some children in my life that they are in a category I don't ever remember having, which was, I don't really believe, I'm pretty sure it's just my parents, but I'm going to go with it because I get gifts out of it.
I don't remember that either, being in
me neither, place. But there are children I know today who are in that camp.
I've known children in that camp. Yeah. I don't remember that being ever true for me or anyone I knew, but I have known kids like that later in my adult life. I have known
kids. And if memory serves, weirdly, this doesn't stick in my head because it was never like I got the same number of presents.
Exactly.
Santa was I feel like after that conversation with my parents, I continued to have presents under the tree that said they were from Santa. I feel like that's a thing.
Yeah.
Don't know for sure, but I feel like that's a thing.
Well, because
we definitely still had stockings.
Santa continued to be a way to give people gifts anonymously. That continued to be
a thing. The whole process, I'm sure, changes when you're in a house with a bunch of closely aged children.
Sure, sure. Yeah.
Which is not something I had to go with at all. It was me, because by then my siblings were way older. And so that becomes a thing.
My mom was putting from Santa on gifts forever. I mean, it's just what you did when you wanted to indicate that you wanted the gift to be anonymous, or, you know, you didn't want the person to make a big deal or come thank you or whatever. You just wanted them to appreciate it and enjoy it on their own terms or whatever.
I think if I had kids today, I would give them gifts from other fantastical beings at Christmas. They would get gifts from the Easter Bunny, from Sasquatch, from Jimmy Hoffa, like things like that.
Jimmy Hoffa. Well, yeah. That's very interesting. I find all that very interesting. I wonder
what is yours. Often... You got to tell yours now. What was your? Give me your history with Santa.
So it's complicated because.
Did you and Santa have a bad romance?
No. So Santa Claus was something we were encouraged to believe in when we were kids. And people would come to our house dressed as Santa Claus. We had as mom and dad, I don't know when they purchased it, but they had a Santa outfit. I don't know when they got it, but they would have people come, and it was not always a man. Could be a woman, could be anybody. And I don't remember when I figured out that there wasn't really a Santa Claus. I can't specifically remember believing in Santa Claus. Like you asked them, is this real or whatever, and had a period of time. I must have believed in Santa Claus. In fact, I'm quite certain I did. I just don't remember that. I remember when people would come in the Santa costume, and I knew it was someone in the Santa costume. You know, I was just a little kid, but you can tell, right?
Well, see, this is interesting because this is a thing that happened in Trish's family when they had the big family gathering, I think usually Christmas Eve or something like that. Some Santa always showed up, yeah, and it was varying male members of the family, but the kids, as near as I can tell, believed. And I just know because about the time I came into the family, on the tail end of these things still happening. And I remember in particular, because the first year I was there was the first year that my brother-in-law was asked to play Santa, and he was like very honored to do that and had a real fun time with that, because whoever had done it before died or was too old or something. So you're like, could you do it? And he's like, yeah, totally. And they did that. And I thought that was fascinating. The kids seemed into it. I don't know.
When I finally, nobody ever told me, no one sat down and had a talk with me about it. I never asked anybody. It just, eventually you just don't believe in that stuff anymore. And for me, the way I remember it happening was, it felt like it was just a joke and I was just getting old enough to get it. See what I mean? Like,
interesting.
It wasn't so much that anybody was lying to anybody. It was just a joke that everybody told. And when you were a kid, you believed it because you weren't sophisticated enough to be in on the joke. But eventually, oh, I get it. It's a joke. See what I mean?
Yes. My version of that is when I was younger, sometimes we would have pizza for dinner and there wasn't delivery where I was. So my father would pick it up on the way home and he would bring it home and we would open the box and there would be a slice missing. And he would say the pizza place cheated us out of one slice. And I believed that way longer than I should have. Wait, like, I'm not going to say into adulthood, but darn near close. And I was suddenly like, oh, fuck, he just eats it on the way home. And everybody's like, yeah, how did you not? But I believed that for a very long time.
That's kind of what it was. So Santa Claus was like.
That was my Santa Claus.
Yeah, that was like Santa Claus. Now, my parents did lie to me about Santa Claus. Don't get me wrong. They did. But okay. It's just, I didn't think of it like that.
Yeah.
You know, I just thought of it as, oh, I get it's a joke that all the adults have with each other and the kids just don't get it. And I think that's because there were a lot of things like that.
Yeah.
You know, like the pizza thing, right? It was like, oh, you know, you just figure these things out. And so this was just one of those things you figured out when, as you got older, yeah. A joke that the parent, that the adults told, that it was, you got older, you were in on the joke.
It is a weird liminal sort of space, because there's lying, deceiving, manipulating. And then there's what we call the white lies, which you can have a big ethical debate over that, but the premise is, it will spare your feelings if I lie to you. you will feel more bad if I am honest, and it will not hurt you. And then there's this category, which I don't think constitutes a white lie per se, because I don't think you would be harmed specifically if you just were never raised to believe in Santa.
Right.
And so it's a weird joke is an interesting word for it, but I think it's an ill-defined space. And I think that is part of why I get so conflicted about the idea of whether or not I think it's worth it.
Well, another tricky bit though, is that behavior is often tied into it. Like, oh, Santa's watching, you better be good. Or the elf on the shelf and all this other stuff.
It's yeah,
like,
well, that, I don't think that ever.
Then you're not just sharing a fun idea. You're trying to manipulate the child's thinking and behavior.
Yeah, no.
And that's a little different, right?
And that's some bullshit. And I've only indulged in that. I've only indulged in that when I actively wanted to manipulate a small child, which I've done many times, just to fuck with them, which is a thing I can appreciate, but it's not a good thing. It's not good parenting. That never came into it. And in fact, the closest thing that happened is when I was, I don't know, somewhere in the middle there, let's say 12. I don't know. My sister, as a gift, from her, this was not a like it's from Santa or whatever, it was from her, got me a lump of coal. Not charcoal, actual coal. Because it was a thing you could buy at Christmas, and it was a little box, and inside was actual coal. And she thought it was hilarious, and I thought it was pretty funny, and I also thought it was cool because I hadn't like seen coal. I had it, but I remember on the outside was, I don't know if it was faux Victorian or like real, but it was like old sort of wood carving illustrations almost. And it told a story. And on one side was a kid like being a jerk to other kids. And then the next panel was like Santa being, oh, fuck that dude. And leave the, and then the kid wakes up in the morning and he's like, I should have been good. And he's got coal. And like, he's crying. And that image haunts me to this day. I don't, children cry. And just the idea, because Christmas was a big thing for me growing up, and the idea that you wake up and it sucks is very traumatizing to me. Nowadays, I fucking hate the holidays, but it was back then. To the degree, and I think I've talked about this before, the year that I woke up at 3:45 a.m., went downstairs, and opened all my presents by myself. And then had a sudden attack of guilt and went upstairs and told my parents I did it. And then everybody woke up and everybody opened their presents except me, because I had already done it. And it was one of the shittiest Christmases ever. And it's just my fault. It was also the year we instituted a time. I think it was 7 a.m. where like, you can't get up before 7 a.m. but like that also traumatized me, because Christmas was a big deal. And so the idea of people like being sad about Christmas was as I got older, when you hit a certain age, all the dysfunction attached with family holidays hits you. It's like a height thing. It's like, you must be this tall to appreciate your familial dysfunction. Like, unless you're in a household where they're like actively beating you and shit, like all of it just seems super nice. And then you hit a certain age where you're like, oh no, this is kind of fucked up around here. but up to that point, Christmas was just a beautiful thing. I loved it. I absolutely loved it. And so, yeah, the idea of somebody being sad. There was an old poem that I listened, my mom read to me. It's a children's book, but it was a poem about some guy who was very sort of selfish and kept himself and very materialistic. And he wrote a letter to Santa of all the things he wanted. And then Christmas Eve came and there was no sign of it. And he was concerned. And he's like, okay, I don't need most of that. I don't need this. I don't need that. Just this one thing. And then Christmas morning happens and he's like, actually, I wanted any of that. It would have been great if I could have had some, but I mostly wanted the one thing. And then at the last minute, he gets the thing, which was an India rubber ball. which I think gives you a sense of when this story, this poem was written. And I remember that story being really sad too, even though it kind of has a happy ending because he gets the rubber ball, which is something they wanted. But again, I was like, this is not, Christmas is about hanging out with people and all of you get cool shit. And it's wonderful. And so all of these ideas of it being like sad or whatever didn't. And then I got older and I'm like, oh, it's not like that for everybody. And also there's a lot of fucked up shit going on behind the scenes, and gift buying is a monstrosity. I remember the year I finally bought Christmas presents with my money for people. I probably was 15 or 16 and I finally had an income because I had had a job. And I spent on family and friends probably a couple hundred bucks.
Oh yeah,
which was a tremendous amount of money for me.
Right.
And I was so excited to the degree that it was not until Christmas Eve that the idea suddenly popped into my head. Oh shit, I'm going to get gifts too. That'll be cool. Because I was just so focused on all the cool things I had gotten people. And I was so excited for them to open them.
Right, right. Yep.
And then since I've been like, no, I hate everything about that. But I don't know. Got a little tangent here, but you know how it is.
Well, I liked this story, Visit from St. Nick or Night Before Christmas. I liked that a lot when I was a kid.
Night Before Christmas is a good one.
And also, when I was in high school, because we had a Santa outfit, I would wear it for kids and stuff. And of course, I have a Santa outfit, as you know. I bought it when I worked at Sears.
Yes, just for a second, when I worked on your team, I was like, is Santa real? And then I was like, no, that dude's skinny and annoying. That's not Santa. You're not Santa! Also, he spells and pronounces his name differently.
Also, yeah. Also, I've had friends since I went to college. I've had friends that give me Santa things, not too often, but I think I've had friends who have had the impression that I am into Santa Claus more than I actually am. I don't know. Some of these people don't even know that I've dressed up as Santa Claus or whatever. They'll just give me Santa stuff. Like they just assume that Santa's my jam or something.
If I had to guess, I would say Punxsutawney Phil. That's who I picture you as being into.
In spite of all that, I've never really been a fan of Santa Claus. And we don't have a lot of Santa decor around Christmas or wintertime.
Because of the sort of materialist and mercenary aspect? Or just because you hate white dudes?
No, it was mostly because, like, one of the things that bothered me, even when I was a kid, was when we'd watch Christmas specials and they talk about something hindering Santa from going out on Christmas, and that was somehow going to cancel Christmas. And that always bothered me because it wasn't a Jesus is the reason for the season thing, because I didn't really think like that.
It's just like there's a lot of shit to Christmas besides presents.
Yeah. And
also,
and of course,
we give each other presents. So
right,
whatever.
Right. But also, you know, our family didn't have a lot. So, you know, presents just couldn't really be a big part of it. It had, you know,
same year, tube socks and corn. That was it every year.
The family getting together was, I mean, Christmas was on the calendar, for gosh sakes. It was going to happen and people were going to come together and you had a Christmas tree and there were probably going to be an exchange of some gifts or whatever. Your grandma would get, like you said, socks or whatever. So this whole idea that Christmas relied on Santa Claus just seemed almost insulting to me, even when I was like a third grader.
And,
you know,
and that is a thing. Like 75% of Christmas specials and stories are, oh shit, Santa's not gonna make it.
Like, Christmas will be canceled.
Yeah. Like now that I think about it, most of them are that.
Yeah, kind of. So my, you know.
And the other 25% are the devil is trying to capture them.
So, you know, for my whole adult life, if I ever bought Christmas ornaments or Christmas decorations or whatever, I was never interested in anything with Santa on it or Santa associated. And all of the thing, except for the story Night Before Christmas or whatever, except for that story, which I really like, I've always liked ever since I was a kid, and having a Santa suit and playing Santa, which those seem like two important things, I guess. But outside of those things, Santa is like my least favorite thing when it comes to Christmas. Or, you know, and I don't have any, and when we did not tell the kids that there was a Santa Claus. I just couldn't bring myself to tell them something that wasn't true. So we didn't do that. But, and a lot of people thought we were mean to not do it. I mean, they were upset with us that we didn't. And I was like, I can't do it. I can't look this kid in the face and lie to him like that. So when I say my relationship with Santa Claus is complicated, I think there's a group of people who think, and I think maybe because of my personality a little bit too, they think, well, he must really like Santa Claus because he's all into that Santa Clausy stuff. Like,
cause he fucking cosplays as him. I mean, it's a little on the nose, dude.
But some people don't know that, but they just,
yeah. And those people I don't understand, but the people that do know that, I understand why they think that.
Well, I, the people who don't know, I think because, you know, I talk about hope and
are they calling you fat? And, is that what's going
on? No, they just think I'm into all of those Christmassy values and things, you know. That's just what they think.
No.
But anyhow.
You never wish there to be peace on earth. None of that crap.
That's, you know, that's not true. I do that all the time.
I will admit, often when I see you, I am sore afraid. That's the only way I can say it is how Linus says it from the Peanuts thing is, yeah, they were sore afraid.
Well, I mean, I think,
which in retrospect, why does he say it that way? I don't know.
That's because that's the way the King James Version says it, I believe.
What the, why would so be written as sore?
Because it's not so, it's sore.
What is sore?
Well, it just means that they were, afraid in a way that was that oppressive and, it's extremely afraid.
The word sore means extremely?
At least in that context it does, or at least that's how I understood it when I read it in the Bible. It's King James Version. It has all kinds of weird language usage in it.
At best, I think it's that there's a comma we're missing, and it's they were sore, comma, afraid.
Anyway, for some people, I think, who found out that I was actually kind of, and some point times in my life, antagonistic even towards Santa Claus, because it was like, you know, this is just a commercialist nonsense.
Fuck that guy.
I think a lot of people thought that was ironic that I felt that way for a variety of reasons. And I don't know. But here's the thing. And the reason I bring it up is because recently when we were at the store and I saw some Santa Claus stuff, I actually was interested in it. Like, oh, that's cool. Maybe we should get one of those. And it took me completely by surprise. It's like, I mean,
it's never too old to gain a new kink. I mean, whatever you're into.
No, it's not that. It was, I don't know what it was. It was, I don't know. It feels like an age thing. It feels like, well, now that I'm feel like I'm an old man or whatever, here's this character who,
well,
who,
and you can,
encapsulates.
You are no long, you don't have kids in the house.
No,
you aren't kids in the house, and because of that you are not beholden to anything Santa is involved in.
No,
so
but
now
also,
on a very abstract symbolic level, you can appreciate the spirit of Santa in the same way that you can appreciate the spirit of Christmas without necessarily being super into Jesus.
I mean,
the base concept of Santa is an admirable one. The execution is wherein the problem lies.
Sure, sure. I think you're right about that. I think the whole spirit of Christmas aspect, I can appreciate it in a different way. But yes. I think also, if I were to dress up as Santa today, you know, in the dressing up as Santa for me has been, I was a teenager dressing up as Santa. I was a young man dressing up as Santa. Now, if I dressed up as Santa, I'm like, I'm an old man dressing up as an old man. You know what I mean? It feels different. It feels different. Like, oh, I can't really wrap my brain around it, but there's something different about Santa because I'm old. I don't know what it
Sometimes I get motion sick just standing outside of your mind. I cannot imagine what it is like in there.
Yeah, it's weird. It's very weird. Yeah. I don't know if it means that we're going to have more Santa stuff around the house. Probably not. But yeah, it's like somehow my orientation toward that cultural icon is changing. And I know it has something to do with how old I am, probably is part of it. A grandkid probably is part of it. Also another part of it might be the whole, you know, I've been on this journey with fiction, right? Ever since I've started college, you know, reading it, writing it, writing different kinds. And so I think I'm learning to appreciate the significance of a fictional character more than I used to. If that makes any sense at all. I don't know if that makes sense.
Excuse me.
I just have a different relationship.
No, I think that's that people. Because you can now appreciate Santa as a narrative concept.
I can. Yeah, that's right.
Which is a very different thing.
Yeah.
I get that a lot too nowadays because I'm like, yeah, so where does this fit into the story? Not where would this fit in logistically, not even sometimes what is the message involved here? What part does this play in the story? And Santa inherently is, I mean, apologies to anybody whose faith this offends. Santa's kind of a Jesus analogy. In the sense that Santa is 100% giving. That is Santa's whole deal. And on top of that, in a small dose, is a little bit of judgment. Which again, ties into the Judeo-Christian thing. God loves you. God loves you unconditionally. However, if you do shit wrong, you won't get the nice things. But that's because that's how the world is. If you're bad, you get bad. And Santa has that, but Santa is also, the ratios are sort of switched. Santa is all about the good. And then just the worst that happens to you, if you're, I mean, unless you get into Krampus and Black Peter and all that, but outside of that, the worst that happens to you is a random stranger doesn't leave you presents. Like, you don't suffer, you have nothing taken away from you or anything. You just don't get invited to the party if you're a dick. And so, yeah, I mean, on its surface, Santa's great in that sense. Yeah, and I think you get to be more removed from the reality of it. I think when you have when kids are around and stuff, there's the whole so Santa because it does become mercenary.
Yeah, sure does.
And kids behave just for Santa, or you're like, you know what? My kid's been a shit. But I'm not like I want to see the parent with the bowling ball sized brass balls to be like, oh, I guess Santa left you nothing. You must have been naughty this year. Like, I want to fucking meet that parent who I want to shake their hand because that's impressive. Like, it's terrible. It's going to fuck up your kid forever, but the integrity, I have to, you know, recognize that. So you get in these situations where you're like, my kid's only being good because they want toys, or my kid's a little shit, but social pressure and all that and not wanting to turn them into a mass murderer, I still have to give them toys, which is reinforcing the idea that they were good, which they absolutely were not. And then there's the fact that we love this idea. Santa,
I have tried really hard to be good this year. If you could bring me some toys, or if you could bring me a doll, or whatever. And now they're like, Santa, here's what I want. I want this specific G.I. Joe, not another one. And I want this playset. I want 12 other things. I will accept no substitutions. Brand names are important. Fucking make it happen. Like, that's going to ruin your view on Santa. Like, what I'm saying is, as with all things, Santa Claus also, children ruin. Children make everything bad.
Yeah.
There you go. Should we answer some questions?
I guess you didn't even talk about your week or anything.
We don't have a lot of questions still, although we have some more, but you need to send them in, people, or it's going to be sad. I mean, sadder. All right. I'm going to start here. All right, I probably should have angled this differently so it doesn't look... All right! This is from Mick. The knife. All right. Hi, Pat. I think I made a joke about this before. But on the drum kit, the hi-hat. Yes, so I'm not... All right. Yes. Tis the season for... by the way, I have not looked at this ahead of time. And Mick sends some doozies of emails sometimes. So hold on to your butts. Tis the season for giving. And the annual cliched question everyone is asking is, what do you want to get for Christmas? Well, humbug on that. A better question is, what do you want to give? I find the most enjoyable part of the gifting process isn't the opening of presents, but in the shopping for that one thing you know your friend would like so you can share the enjoyment with them. Tony already got his present from me. It's a butt plug. It's a butt plug. That's all I'll say.
No, it's a cookbook, or not a cookbook. It's the cheese book here at my house. I don't know when I'm going to get it to you.
And William gets to share a present with his wife. It's one of those double butt plugs. That's all I'll say. When I get around to getting it to them. But the big present for our Wranglers today is a question.
Oh, Jesus, I'm sure this.
All of so that grateful. Was fucking preamble. All yep. right. Given that you could afford it, what is the one meaningful gift you could give to a specific friend or loved one? No cheating by saying world peace.
World peace. Ah, world peace. That's what I was going to say.
Or something lame like that. It has to be a physical object or product, and it has to be specifically tailored to the giftee. Happy Santa-ing.
Well, world peace, obviously.
Oh, we just said. I mean, go smaller. Do regional peace.
Oh, Iowa peace.
Iowa peace. Yeah.
Exactly. I don't care about Minnesota or Michigan peace. Just Iowa peace. Come on. Who cares?
But it has to be a physical object. So I'm assuming you have some sort of death ray to ensure peace. If I could give a gift, I would give nukes so that peace would be assured through
mutually assured destruction.
Exactly.
No. In the Midwest.
This is hugely a problem for me because, as I have said many times this episode and other times, I fucking hate the holiday. I don't like the holidays, and I specifically don't like the gift giving aspect because I don't like gift giving as obligation. And in my opinion, that's what Christmas gifts are. Sometimes I get gifts that are very heartfelt and well thought out, and they are wonderful. That is usually despite the holiday season. More commonly, I get a combination of shit I wanted that I either asked for or had my wife ask for, or crap that is no good. I would say that is 90% of the gifts I both receive and give during the holiday season. And I don't know. I'm in a place of very serious privilege in that we have enough money that when I think of something cool I want to give someone, I get it and I give it to them.
Right, right.
Just in general.
Yep, yep.
And it's been really funny this year, because this year in particular, for a variety of reasons that mostly can probably still be linked to COVID, we're not, me and I think sort of Trish and I think my side of the family aren't in a real gift giving mood this year. We're just not sort of feeling that vibe. And in general, my family doesn't usually give gifts to me. I frequently give them to them, but I kind of was like, I don't want to do it. We're doing it on the other side of the family because that's what's happening. They're getting us gifts, so we're getting them gifts. And, you know, we gave it some thought and it was nice and I hope they'll like them. But it's very much a this is how it's supposed to go kind of thing. Not like I really want to give them gifts. But meanwhile, I've got something I want to give my sister. And I've got something I want to give my mother. I don't have anything for my sister's daughter or her husband. And I agonized about this for a little while that I could come up with something. Finally, I was like, no. And I think this is the time of year where the world and the media is throwing gifts at your face, which means the instances of me finding something and being like, that would be perfect for so-and-so are higher.
Sure.
So that complicates things. So what I'm planning to do is hopefully I'm going to mail them this week. And I've told them, like, stuff's coming. It's not a Christmas gift. Or just to be safe, I may wait till January. I don't know, because they're not perishable. I mean, I wouldn't be able to give a friend, you know, a private jet. So that would be cool. But I don't know. What do you think? Very little, it seems.
Meaningful gift. To me, if you know, money's no object, and it's got a and it's a meaningful gift, whatever. Of course, it doesn't really matter. It's the question is being asked because it's the holidays, but obviously it doesn't really matter. It's the
no, someone in theory, you, it could apply to anyone.
Yeah, someone you know could use something for free, basically, and you have the power to give it to them. For example, I mean, the thing I think of right away is like a house. Someone I know who is house poor, doesn't have a house, you know, like the kids, if I could like buy them all a house, like free and clear, and they could just have it and live in it. And presuming I could find a house that they would like in a place that they like, I would totally do that. Because, you know, I don't know if they, I mean, at least one of them I know appreciates how complicated this is. Of course, the one that has a child now, but, you know, getting a house, finding a house, securing a house, keeping up a house, you know, paying the mortgage for a house or whatever, all that stuff is hugely difficult and complicated. It's one of the hardest things you have to do as an adult. And if I could spare them that just by giving them a thing, you know, a nice house that's like brand new, they don't have to worry about replacing the roof for 20 years or whatever. And so they can just sort of not deal with those complications for a little while anyway. I mean, they're going to have to keep it up and everything. I would totally do that because it's hard. I mean, you know, we've been in this house for almost 20 years exactly. And of course, things are starting to happen. You know, we're going to have to replace the roof. We're going to have to replace the furnace. We've already replaced many things in this house multiple times. And, you know, it's just, it's a thing you have to deal with. And now that one of the kids has a kid, you know, we hear a lot more about those struggles and issues. And it's like, man, I wish we could just do something to make all that go away, because it's hard when you're young parents. You've got the kid and you want to pay attention to the kid 100%, do everything for the kid 100%, but you can't, because you got to buy a new air conditioner. You got to buy you know, you've got to do this, that, or the other thing. So, and it, but it's not just, you know, Abby's got three kids and it's not just one kid that's going through this. All of them are going through things, and they could probably all, if they had rich parents, that would probably help them out. They don't, unfortunately, but, you know, I think of my dad and my siblings, but they're all doing fine, you know?
Yeah.
Even if I could think of something that would be meaningful to give them, I'd never be able to think of anything that they couldn't actually just get for themselves. But the kids are all just starting out, you know, and, you know, one of them has a kid now, and it's like, yeah, I wish there was something else we could do for them. Because, you know, like you, for example, you know, there's probably nothing meaningful I could give you that you couldn't just get for yourself.
I don't think so.
So,
I mean, if you want to buy me a house, I'm fine with that. No, and that's, I mean, and that's the thing. I'm in a very comfortable position in that the people in my life are doing okay.
Yeah.
I'm always there for them. And I've offered when people have been. My sister is probably in the most financial straits, and that's just because she's got a kid in college, but they're still doing fine.
Yeah.
I mean, they've been to Hawaii multiple times since the last time I went.
Well, I mean, like, and that's another good thing about the fact that my family doesn't exchange gifts, is because it'd be so hard. Right. Yeah. I mean, everybody, if they want something, they just get it, you know, and people do get things for people, like my boots. So this is weird. So I go home and I'm wearing tennis shoes. And if you're thinking to yourself, well, who cares? You're wearing tennis shoes. That's what I would think, except everybody noticed I was wearing tennis shoes instead of boots, instead of the brown boots that I guess I've worn almost exclusively and nothing else for 20 years.
I will admit, when I picture you in my head, you are wearing those brown boots.
Okay. So I show up at home and I don't have these boots on, and my family's like, what is going on? I've never seen my family pay attention to what someone's got on their feet, but they were paying attention. I said, oh, well, my boots have they're not water proof anymore, so I need to get some new ones. And, you know, a week later, I get boots. My brother bought me some boots. They're the exact same brand, the exact same size, exact same everything.
Yeah.
You didn't have to do that. I'm, you know, I could buy my own boots. So that kind of thing happens, and we do that for each other, but we don't really exchange gifts, because everyone, if they want something, they just get it for themselves. And sometimes they get things for the people.
Here's where gifts are cool to me. Here's where I love gifts. There are two circumstances. One, and it is the purest form to me, which is, here is something this person probably doesn't know about, has not experienced. Mm. And I feel like they would like it. It's very important. It's not that I like it.
Yeah.
Although if I hate it, I'm probably not going to give it to them. But it's that I feel, with my knowledge of them, that they will like it, and therefore they will be happy with it. Sure. And I do those. And those are the tricky ones, because you can't really force them.
Yeah, right.
They happen. And then the other version is, this is something I think they want, but due to circumstances, they are unable/unwilling to get it for themselves. Yeah. So I can do that. And the best example I can think of, and an opportunity to brag again, was buying you all Disney Plus.
Oh, yeah. That was really nice.
And I felt very good about that, because you were interested in it, mm-hmm. but it was not a financial priority at the time.
Nope.
And it was not a big deal to me to spend that amount of money to give you a year of it. And again, because you were like, I don't know if it's worth it or whatever. And I'm like, this will eliminate that stress for you. You will have a year in which to determine for yourself if it is worth it. And it felt great.
Yeah. That was a good one. That was a good one.
And those things I like doing, and I've done variants of those on with other people. That's become my kind of go-to gift nowadays, is a year's worth of a streaming service you won't buy for yourself, but I think you'll like. I do that quite a bit.
That's a good one. I like that.
And those, and the, again, I'm in a comfy position where I don't know that most people I hang out with are in the same financial position I am, but they have enough comfort that they're not in really any economic danger. Mm-hmm. And they have enough comfort that they make financial choices that I think are irresponsible. and vice versa.
Yeah, right.
When you hit a certain comfortable point, we've talked, like the neighbors were like, so they say they can't afford X, but they're fucking buying Y. And I'm sure over there, they're like, they say it's not worth it to get Y, but they spend all that money on X. Like, I'm sure. And as it should be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody should get to, but like the fact that they have that flexibility, I'm like, they're not hurting.
Yeah. Right.
And if they were, I would help out.
Yeah. Well, definitely. I mean, yeah, of course.
But there's not a lot of things where I'm like, oh, this is something they would really want, but they can't afford it. Yeah. And so it doesn't come up. And I feel bad. I feel like I'm not answering this question well, but, and I don't think that's true for everybody. I live in a very narrow, insular place with a lot of affluent individuals.
Yeah, that's exactly my situation too.
And I also am so many gifts. The gifts I think that have the most value and are the most appreciated are very seldom physical things. Yeah. I have some nibblings that you have this with all the children that aren't yours, be it nibblings or grandchildren or whatever. You have that. Am I going to be the popular relative? The classic one, I think Yes Dear did a thing about it. When there's grandparents, there's always the A grandparents and the B grandparents. Hmm. And maybe you like both sets of grandparents, maybe you don't, but there's always one that, like, if you think grandparents, those are the ones you think of as grandparents. And then there's the other ones that you see sometimes or that you don't see or whatever. And that's the thing. And I had that growing up too. And then there's the same thing where it's like, who's your favorite uncle? You know, I know you like, and I would feel threatened because there was an aunt and uncle that lived further away that would spoil the shit out of my nibblings, buy them all of the things. And we were like, that's not, we could, but we don't want to do that. Like, we don't want to just, hey, I showed up and brought you every toy you've ever mentioned. Like, I like spoiling children, but it needs context and some of that. And I used to feel bad. And then as years went on, it became evident that they like that, but they, maybe not even consciously, but they were aware we were the aunt and uncle who showed up to their fucking play recitals and to their birthdays and stuff like that. And no shade on the other aunt and uncle. They lived farther, farther away. But those kind of things. Taking somebody on a trip, a day trip, an overnight trip, whatever. Admittedly, there's money involved there and stuff like that, but that giving them an experience rather than a present. A common one we would do and still do sometimes is when we know people that have younger children, we give them date nights, which is usually, there's a couple of factors here. One is, depending on who it is, we offer to babysit.
Right.
For an evening. And then the other thing is, we'll give them, like, here is a gift card to the movie theater and a gift card to Olive Garden and a gift card to Cold Stone Creamery. So go have a date. And we like doing that, but yeah, I will do material gifts of stuff they like, and it's fine, but it's just a friendly gesture. it's a, hey, I got you. Like, it's not, to me, it's a very mild show of affection. I don't know. I feel like I'm butchering this question.
Well,
no, I feel like I'm not doing good. I apologize, Mick. I feel like I'm not. I feel like I'm not getting in the headspace you were in when you asked this.
People, I mean, like with the Disney Plus thing, that was cool, and my brother getting me boots. It's like people do these things for me, and I really do appreciate it. I don't do nearly as many things like that for other people. Mostly because I don't have a job. You know what I'm saying?
And but this becomes money, really. The thing with a true gift. It should never be a balancing act.
No, that's right. That's right.
And goes without saying, you give me a lot of other things. Like, first and foremost, I emailed you one day and said, let's do a podcast with these specifications. And you were like, okay. And then proceeded to fucking do it for coming up on 11 years. Like, that's a big gift.
Like, well, it doesn't feel
like a gift. I can count the number of people in my life, including my wife, who would do that for me on this finger right here. See that? That little guy? That's you. That's you right there. And you're all by yourself because a lot of people like me and a lot of people love me. I promise you, none of them would do a weekly podcast with me for over a decade. For no goddamn reason.
I get
that's a huge deal.
I mean, everybody who's ever watched this podcast or listened or whatever knows I spend most of the time laughing my head off. So I get a lot out of it.
And I mean, I'm not going to claim you. It's clearly if I thought it sucked for you, I probably would have like put you out of your misery years ago. Like, I don't think it's a bad thing for you, but it's,
yeah.
It is a commitment. I mean, in the same way that I feel like it's a commitment to our listeners and that we're keeping it up and all that. And that's fine. Sure, but I mean, sure. I don't. But the point is that means a lot to me and is it, for however much or little effort it is for you, I'm dead serious. No one else in my life would do it.
Okay.
Trish loves me. Trish will do the occasional episode. She even enjoys it. No fucking way. Every Thursday for 10 years. No fucking way. And I don't blame her in the slightest. It's kind of insane. I'm a little worried about you. Like, it's maybe not a good or healthy thing that you are willing to do this, but I appreciate it. Don't you hate it when you're on your deathbed and at the end you're like, I wish I had podcasted less. I guess that generation hasn't hit yet. That's going to come up.
That'll happen.
I wish I'd spent less time at work, and now we're gonna have a whole generation of, I wish I hadn't put so much energy into that fucking podcast. Nobody asked for it. I don't know what we were, why. Here, I mean, decades. It's weird that it's now been long enough that it's a landmark in my life, where I refer to things as before the podcast and after the podcast.
Sure. Yeah.
What is wrong with this? But no, I mean, you can, but that's the thing is I appreciate the understanding and I feel it myself. When people give me a gift, I'm like, oh, they gave me a gift. I want to give back.
Yeah.
But I don't think that, I don't think that's a thing to focus on because it also cheapens. And this is the thing that fucking drives me crazy. And I can explain it in a perfect story. Of somebody who I was working with back when I was temping at ACT, they were also temping and we would have these little jobs. And by coincidence, we had been hired for a couple of them in a row. So we kind of knew each other at this point. And we're working one day and she's like, God, I really would like a pop, but I don't have a buck. And I was like, no problem. I'll give you a buck. But here's the thing. It was the last day on that job. And she was like, I can't do that. I can't pay you back because we won't see each other. I was like, it's a buck, whatever. And she said, I'm not going to do it unless you give me your name and address so that I can mail you a dollar. And I said, probably slightly nicer than this, but I said, well, then fuck you. You don't get a pop. because that is bullshit. Like, that is draining. The tiny, insignificant thing that I could maybe just feel, you know, I got her, she wanted to pop, I feel nice about that. You have drained all the joy I could take from that by saying, I refuse your gift unless I can give it back to you later. Well, then I have no reason to want to give you that. What is wrong with you? And it's a lesson I've had to learn myself. When people want to do stuff for me, I'm like, oh no, you don't have to do that. No, you don't. I don't protest nearly as much. I do. Sometimes I'll be like, you don't have to. But if they want to, I'm like, okay. They clearly want to. As long as I don't think they're feeling obligated. If it's like, no, they want to do this thing for me, I'm going to let them do that thing for me, because it feels nice to give gifts when you want to give gifts.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's always that temptation or that thing inside that when someone gives me something and I either haven't or can't or whatever, can't return the favor or whatever, to feel bad or to whatever. But then I have to think, but that's not what I would want them to think or feel if I was giving them something. So it that would be wrong.
Precise. And to me, it is,
I really have to work at it.
It is the antithesis of what gifts are.
Yeah.
That's the point. And if you are in a situation where somebody gives you a gift and in your head, you're like, I had no intention of giving them anything, but now I feel that I will have to find something commensurate. That's bad for all parties, in my opinion.
I think
now sometimes somebody will give me a gift and I'll be like, oh, I didn't know our relationship was at the level where they were okay with that. That's cool. I think I'll try and find them a gift. Sure. 'Cause that will be fun. But that is different than, oh, I now have to pay them back for the gift. And I say all this as per usual. This is an ideal attitude. I am victim to the same fucking thing, and I've done it many times, and I continue to do it many times.
Yeah.
But I think you need to be aware that I don't think that's a healthy outlook when it comes to gifting.
And you can put all of that, you know, all that emotional energy you're feeling guilty or obligated, you could put all that into being grateful.
Showing some
gratitude.
Appreciation. That's, You're fucking cool. You fucking got me this thing.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool. It's nice to show gratitude.
Yeah. And I
know you appreciate them.
I love gift giving, and I hate almost all institutions that are established for gift giving, which first and foremost is goddamn Christmas. To me, it takes away the joy of gift giving, because it's no longer, oh, I get to give this person something because I think it's cool to give. It's no, I now am supposed to. So it's not a gift now. It is a debt that I owe by social convention.
The big difference for me in my life, though, was when I was a manager and Christmas gave me a reason that nobody, you know what I'm saying? Like, I wanted to give you guys stuff all the time, but yep. I couldn't. But at Christmas, I could.
That's, you know. And that's a component. When yep. the holidays mean, or when a reciprocation means, I now feel comfortable. It's not, I feel obligated. I might have liked to have done this before, but I now feel that it's okay and I'm comfortable with it.
Right.
That's great. And you in particular had the spirit of gift giving, because you gave gifts that mercenary individuals would fucking hate. You gave gifts that were not worth very much money and had absolutely no utility whatsoever.
No.
What they did have was, they were very specifically thoughtful to each individual. And so I can't speak for everyone, but definitely for me, and I think for most people, they were awesome. We loved them.
Oh, that's nice.
Because it was that you had genuinely thought about us. And don't get me wrong, I've had bosses, I've had teams, I've had a lot. My teams at ACT have been very good about Administrative Assistant Appreciation Day.
Oh,
and cool. They would give me gift cards to places, and that was awesome. And I love gift cards to restaurants. But the thing I liked best was always the card and the little messages in it.
Oh, yeah, that's nice.
Because a gift card is nice in the same way that a random dirty hobo on the street handing me $20 would be nice. I'm not opposed to $20,
Random dirty hobo.
Yes, I'm not opposed to that. But what you did was buy us bullshit knockoff Legos that you had carefully thought of, and each of us got a different thing, and they were things we had never heard of.
Yeah.
And they were unique and different, and they also fit very well in with our job, because when you work tech support, you sit on the phone all day and you play with fucking toys at your desk. So it was perfect.
Yeah.
And it introduced me to the whole world of stick fizz and things. And one year I don't even remember what you got people in general, because often there was a theme. But I remember one year you got me a little figurine of a dragon on a toadstool. And I really liked it. But I also remember thinking it was very different from whatever sort of general theme you had had for people.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, wow, he really like thought he might have seen that somewhere and really like thought of me. And it, people joke about it, it's the thought that counts. It absolutely is. And again, coming from a place of privilege, I can buy my own knockoff Lego. It's very easy.
Yeah.
So I must thank you for having introduced me to knockoff Lego. But beyond that, you didn't have to do shit. But you did, because you thought about it and you're like, Tony will be into this. And I was. And everybody was. People, I'm into That's toys fine. In general. People who weren't into toys were still into them. And it was real fun of like, this is what you got me. Now, there's a risk there, because you could have gotten something and somebody's like, this is what you fucking think of me, asshole. But you thought well, and that didn't happen. Everybody was like, oh, this is cool. This one, I got this one. What'd you get? Oh, that's nice. This one is much more me, though. I like this. This is good. Like, you did good with that stuff.
Oh, it was fun. It was the best part of the whole thing.
And we got you stuff.
Oh, yeah, you did. Nice.
And there was a reciprocation component. There was a social pressure of, it's weird if our boss gets us all thing and we don't get shit for the boss. But we also wanted to get the boss stuff. And probably because of the nature of how you gave gifts, we thought about it too. We had big email chains and shit. And we're like, well, what about this? What about this? And then, and we got shit like geocaching.
Yeah.
Before GPS was really a thing, we bought him what looked like a sci-fi phone from the 70s that just did GPS, because he was very into cool. geocaching. Something yeah. that sounded like the dumbest hobby I've ever heard of. But somebody was like, he's talked about it. And we're like, yeah, he has. Those things are, and back then they weren't that cheap either. So it's like, we should get this for him. And that was for you. And we thought about it. And I think some of that was inspired by how you clearly thought about the things you got us. Oh, and so that was nice. Awesome gifts. And they that was awesome gifts awesome. Back and forth. As opposed to, we exchange gift cards, which is not a bad thing. No gift, unless it sucks or is done with mean spirit, is a bad. Again, the dirty hobo hands me $20. The hobo has not done poorly by me.
I feel like you're talking about me somehow, whatever you say. That,
no. Dirty hobo. No, his name is Jeremy.
Oh, okay.
And he lives on the street, but weirdly has a lot of money. I don't know what it is. He might be doing a method acting thing for a role. I don't know. But anyway, Jeremy has not done poorly by me to give me $20. That is nice of him.
Yeah.
I do not feel that Jeremy has given a lot of thought to me and sought to bring something to me that will uniquely and specifically enhance my life and or enhance our relationship.
Gotcha.
But there's nothing, but it's not bad. It is cool that Jeremy gave me that money.
Sure.
It's just not as cool as if he'd been like, here are some Scandinavian toys that I thought your 45-year-old ass might need. So, I mean, there's not a wrong way to give gifts as long as you're not doing some, as long as you're not giving your spouse weight loss drugs or, you know,
yeah,
your homemaker spouse a new vacuum.
Right.
Shit like that. Or just like, you know, some variation on a card that says, fuck you. Like, and I know nobody sends that, but like, there are presents that honestly are amount to being a card. Fuck you.
I guess, yeah.
Sort of like your high school bully sending you a Christmas card. But so, I mean, gifts are great. It's an order of magnitude. I don't want to shit on, you know, oh, they wanted this toy. Okay, I bought them this toy. Like, that's cool. That's good of you. That's wonderful. That's not what I want out of gift giving in general. And it does get tricky because part of gift giving is I want to give a gift. I don't want to feel that I have to give a gift. But you know what? Sometimes I don't want to give a gift. And sometimes I feel bad that I don't want to give a gift. And that's a problem.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's not like I fucking hate you. I don't know. I haven't seen anything interesting. I don't really care about giving you some shit. I guess that makes me a bad friend or whatever. But I also don't like the idea that, okay, then I have to get you something. Like, it's tricky. We've gone so over time. Apparently, I feel very strongly about this.
I guess so. And we talked about Santa Claus earlier, so it all seems to kind of go together.
We did. I want to give gifts the way Santa Claus gives. No, that doesn't work. I sure as shit don't want people writing me letters about what they want. I feel weird. So some parts of the family still do the, like, you know, what do you want for Christmas kind of thing. And a couple years ago, I went with, I want you to donate to charity.
Oh.
Because I don't need stuff. And if I need stuff, I'll get it. And the world is on fire. So please donate to charity. And what I found was some people could do that, but a lot of them could not cope without giving me a thing.
Mm.
And so some of them just didn't do charity, and some of them would do a little bit of both. Like, we donated some money to charity, and here's the thing. And and it's another one of those, like, what does it mean to them?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, if it's important to them, I should let them. And, like, this year, since then, I have come up with some things where I'm like, you know, here's something. And I try to keep them fairly non-specific and fairly affordable, because some people are like, I really want to give you a gift, and I'm really bad at coming up with one. And I've been there. And the thought of wanting to give you the gift does not come with the understanding of what would be the perfect gift. And so some people want/need a little help. And as long as I feel like that's what's going on, that's great. If it's like I owe you a gift. Do a registry for me and I'll buy some shit there. No, I don't want to do that. Don't give me anything. Or donate it to William, because William is sad and poor.
I'm not sad. I am poor. That I am.
Sorry. By sad, I didn't mean like emotionally.
Oh.
I meant like pathetic. When Trump used to put it at the end of his tweets. Like, you are poor and sad.
Okay. I do notice when I have money, one of the first things I want to do is buy people things. That's what I like to do, I guess.
It used to be one of the first things I wanted to do. Now it comes after purchasing fast food and recreational marijuana. Third thing is I want to buy gifts for people. Actually, there's no choice. I love taking people out. That sounded wrong. I did not mean killing
people. I know what you mean.
I love taking people out for meals. That is a thing.
Yeah. That is
I enjoy, because I enjoy the experience of going out for meals in general. And I love to take stress off of people of, you don't have to pay for it. But also, straight up honest here, I feel like a big man. I'm gonna do it when I'm like, I'll take care of the bill. And it's funny because for quite a while now, I don't earn the money. Trish earns the money, but yeah. I'm still the one who pays the bill because Trish likes that I like it. And nice. So it's a thing. And I self-deprecate a little bit. It's like, oh, thank you so much. I'm like, thank her, it's her money. But there is this, like, I feel like a big man because I'm like, oh, pay for it. I don't know. I feel magnanimous and I enjoy it. And I like to eat. So this has stirred up a lot of emotions. I think I haven't had a chance to vent my frustrations on the holidays this year yet. So this is a good time. Y'all got to have opinions on this. Santa Claus and presents. There is no way all of you don't have opinions. Each and every one of you has an opinion. I'm going to go out on one and say it's probably at least a moderately strong one. These are not things I think it is possible in this society to not have things about. It is possible you've never considered, and you should look in yourself and see how you feel about it. And then go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com, and tell us.
Tell us.
I feel there is ripe conversation here. So bring it. Talk to us about it.
That would be a gift for us if you were to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. But honestly, the fact that somebody listens is a gift to us already.
That's right.
And we appreciate that very much. Mm-hmm. And we're kind of overselling the Christmas thing, given that next week will not yet be Christmas. So I don't know what. Should we research Kwanzaa this week and we can talk about Hanukkah's already done, apparently.
Yeah.
Hanukkah happened in like August or some shit.
Well, it's done, yeah.
Those lunar holidays, very confusing to me. There's a bit. There's a bit Jenny Slate does in her Netflix special where she talks about Jewish holidays and Jewish holiday songs. And she says they all basically follow the same format, which is they tried to kill us in the past. They're gonna do it again. Hide under your bed until the daylight comes. There's only one drop of oil for a million people. And I'm like, that's true. And it's also fair. I mean, like, they have earned that to be their song choice.
You can't really argue. Yeah.
Anytime I think about Jewish holidays now, I always hear Jenny Slate sing, there's only one drop of oil for a million people. Because that's true. When you look at what I know of the Jewish history, the miracles you see there almost always are like, and not everyone died. Which, you know, awesome, but yeah, it's rough.
It's rough.
You know, it's rough being Jewish throughout history. That's our takeaway here, people.
Right.
Is that it has been known to be rough to be Jewish at various points in the past, present, and let's be honest, future. That's not a threat to the record. I'm super cool with the chosen people. This is me looking at the state of the world.
Oh man.
And predicting that this will continue to be an issue. I would love to be proven wrong.
Hope we're wrong. Hope you're wrong.
It's there. Also, if any of you are like, I'm tired. I don't want to do shit. I just want to watch some pictures on the screen for a couple hours. Go to Netflix and watch Red Notice. Have you watched Red Notice?
Yes, I have watched it.
It sure is a movie.
It is that. With people in it.
Yep. People you've seen.
And things happening.
Well, yeah, some. Yeah. I'm actually really stuck now because I have only ever seen Gal Gadot in three things. Mm. Wonder Woman. She did great. But it wasn't a super challenging acting role. Wonder Woman 1984. She did fine, although I have a lot of problems with that movie. And again, not a difficult role. And Red Notice. So now I'm like, oh shit, is Gal Gadot not a good actor? Like, this hasn't occurred to me before, but now, and to be fair, she was phoning it in as was absolutely everyone else in Red Notice.
That's right. That's right. Everybody was.
But like, I was, I don't think she makes a good villain. Mm. Also, people should stop making her sing. Yeah, it is the most generic. I don't know why I brought this up now, except I don't want to talk about it next week. Next week we can talk about VHS and the Nevers and some shit like that. But I wanted to get Red Notes out of the way. It is officially a movie. It's real. I've seen it. Gal Gadot does. I don't want to shoot on her. I already have feelings about Ryan Reynolds and Dwayne Johnson. Oh, okay. I certainly am not implying they did better than her. Nope.
Yeah.
I'm just saying I was unsurprised by their adequate performances.
Okay.
I mean, extant, that's the only way, like, by their actual performances that did happen, and that's the most I can say. Mm. I was surprised by hers.
Okay.
So I don't want to throw any excess shade at Gal Gadot other than the shame she should feel for being in this movie, as they all should. But then again, I suspect the amount they were paid covers up a lot of shame.
Probably.
I would probably be in Red Notice for what they were paid. I'd be an egg. I'd be one of the eggs.
That's good egg you got going there.
I know, right?
You do good egg. Yep.
People, tell casting directors, do I just not want to do dishes? After we finish with this, I have to do dishes.
I've got stuff to do.
It's been like a fucking hour and a half. I don't know what's
going on. I know. You're really putting it off.
I really am. All right. All right, people. Come back next week. We're going to talk about Arbor Day?
Maybe.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.